I know this is my purpose, and I know, like, you know, everybody had that thought in their head, like, man, when I'm gonna get signed, when I'm gonna be the next Beyonce, you know, that everybody thinks that. And I had to stop thinking like that, because it's like, ain't no next. I am the Cianca.
I'm Joni Deutsch, and from WFAE in Charlotte, this is Amplifier, the music podcast where we shine a light on the artist who calls Charlotte home. Because Charlotte is more than just a banking city or a football city. So every other Thursday on this podcast, we're going to explore the people, places, and things that help define the Queen City's crown sound. And today, we'll hear from an up-and-coming R&B singer who combines raw lyrics with laid-back soul. And that's coming up on Amplifier.
Amplifier. And then the beat will drop.
Amplifier.
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 Can you introduce yourself and what you do in Charlotte?
I am Cianca. I am a R&B and soul artist based out of North Carolina, and I am residing in Charlotte currently.
Cianca, I read that you were born and raised not in Charlotte, but in Smithfield, North Carolina. That's like right in the Research Triangle, right?
Yes, that's like 30 minutes from Raleigh, so yeah.
Is that where you got started in music?
Yeah, definitely. I was raised by my grandparents, and my grandmother was pretty heavy in the church, and we went to church a lot, so a Baptist church to be exact. So I was always surrounded by gospel music, and then my father, he was like into the hip hop with, you know, people like Sade and Tribe Called Quest, NWA, Big Daddy Kane. So having that mixture of different types of genres definitely influenced me a lot. And it drew my curiosity, especially when I was around it. My father was always educating me on music history, because I was always curious, and he'd just go on and on for hours about, okay, this started, and then, you know, and he just would school me. And I even liked the way that he had like hundreds of CDs, and he had them always neat and they were in order. Like, he was a music fanatic, so definitely sparked my eye and my curiosity for the love of music.
Now, for anyone who hasn't heard your music before, I mean, there's obviously a number of influences in it. You can hear some 90s R&B. You can hear some really interesting tinges of soul, you know, even some jazz and spoken word.
If it wasn't for you stabbing me at my heart, would have never found the path, the way to my soul. Now that I found love inside of me, I put myself first before I receive. In the beginning, you were my everything. Leaving you all of me, I was nothing. Now that I found love inside of me, I put myself first. Who can love me better than me?
So in some of those references, I'm hearing some Macy Gray, I'm hearing some Erykah Badu, I'm hearing some, like, even contemporary, like, Janelle Monáe.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start falling in love with that kind of genre of, you know, I hate to say neo-soul or neo-R&B, but those kind of tangential genres?
I think it was organic. I mean, when you think about the age frame that I was at, where neo-soul was very at its height in the music game. But my father played it a lot. I mean, he played a lot of neo soul. He played a lot of Erykah Badu, a lot of Lauryn Hill. I know I definitely started falling in love with it for sure because of Erykah Badu. And he spoke highly of her because she was very consistent, and she was somebody who brought something different to the music game. So, you know, everybody loves Erykah Badu. Like, I haven't met anybody who don't rock with Erykah Badu. If you do, you're crazy. But definitely Miss Education of Lauryn Hill was something that made me like really, really start falling in love with that sound, because it was just fulfilling. And just no other music could compare. I mean, you had your hip hop and, you know, you want to party and go to the club, but it was just something about neo soul that just really filled my soul up. So
when was the first time that you changed from being that music fan to musician yourself?
That happened at a really early age. Actually, I started playing the drums when I was 5 years old.
Wow.
Growing up in my church, it was a family-based church, and my cousin Justin, he played the keys, and then my other cousin Jamie and Jason, they were the drummers of the church, and I was always catching myself looking at them and not paying attention to the preacher. And my grandma would get on me like, turn around, you know, you need to pay attention. But I wanted to turn around and watch his hands move, and I just would sit there, and he wouldn't say nothing. He would always smile. He would let me watch him until... Even at the service, I found myself over there behind the organ. And he never told me to get off. He would just like, go ahead. Or he would like, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to show you something. So he played definitely a huge influence in me being a musician at a very early age. So I begged my grandmother. I was like, I want a drum set. Like, can I please get that for Christmas? And she was like, ask your father. So I asked my dad, and he got me one. Up until I even got that, I was using her shoe boxes to build my own drum set. Yeah, and then she, you know, back in the day, they used to have those wire hangers.
Oh, I still use those wire hangers.
I haven't seen any. Please find them for me. I think it's so nostalgic. You know, they've been so easy. So I used to twist it, and I would make drumsticks out of it. So, yeah, my grandmother was like, yeah, she's going to be a musician, because everything she do is just music related. We'd be in the grocery store. I was beating on something on the counter. She's like, stop beating on the counter. I'm trying to pay for the groceries. So, yeah, I knew I wanted to be a musician at like 6 years old. And it's always been in my heart. Even when I strayed away from it, it felt weird. So, yeah.
What about the, I don't know if I can say the creation of Cianca, the artist, but when was that first moment when you actually did step out as this independent, entrepreneurial, you know, neo R&B singer songwriter?
Probably a couple years ago. I've always been a musician and, you know, behind the scenes or behind the artist, and I went through probably like 2000, I can't remember the year, but I went through a depression. I went through a series of some traumatic experiences in my life that made me just woke up one day and started writing. And I started getting into producing more. I even went out and bought like the Pro Tools and the Logic software, and I wanted to get into it. And I felt like I had a testimony. And I got a little frustrated because I was like, I don't know how to do all this stuff. So I started looking up studios. I was living in Greensboro at the time. I started looking up studios I can go to. And I didn't even have a job, but I was like, I'm just going to still look. I found the studio, and I looked through the producers, and this guy named LaFell stood out to me. And I was like, I'm going to hit him up. So I hit him up. And he was like, come through, play me some stuff. And I played him some stuff, and I was like, yeah, man, I'm just trying to, you know, I was being real modest. He was like, yo, you're dope. He was like, you know, I was like, yeah, man, but I ain't gonna front. I can't even afford you right now. Like, he was like, yo, come to my house and I charge you half. And I was like, for real? He was like, yeah, like, I think you're dope and I believe in you. So we used to go to his house and we would record. And I know, like, there was times where I didn't even have no money, and he would come through. So, like, I don't get emotional, but LaFell definitely pushed me to be an artist, because I was at a low point in my life, and he really, like, brought that out of me, so.
Sitting on the porch, crying, looking for the love. Saying, please save the baby, 'cause she's going crazy.
second blow. Then I turned on the radio. And I heard a beautiful song.
Hey.
It was Sarah Cabato.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It was Sarah Cabato. It was Sarah.
Becoming like Cianca the artist really happened a few years ago, and it sounds like that was also around the time that you were transitioning to Charlotte, right? Moving down here.
Yeah it's just crazy how things work, because I was living in Winston-Salem. Like I've moved a lot because I don't know that's the Aries in me. I just like to move, like I get bored. So
I'm also an Aries, I can relate to that.
Yeah, I was working at my job, and my boss was like, you know, you're really excelling here, you know what I'm saying? But I was like, that's dope. But I was like, I don't want to be in Winston. It's boring here. I love the love. Yo, shout out to Winston. They got great restaurants. But yeah, I was like, I want to be in a bigger city, you know what I'm saying? I want to be with more opportunities, because deep down, I want to do like music or just be around, you know, a more musical environment. And I don't know, I just applied for a position and I got the job. And they called me and it was like, yo, you can start next week. And I'm like, gosh, I gotta move over here that quick? And I was like, can y'all like pay for me to move? They're like, nah. It's literally like an hour and a half away. But yeah, I moved. I moved up here and just things started booming from here. Like everything started working out. It was crazy. But I still felt alone. Like I didn't have any musical connects, I can say that. Like, I ain't know anybody. I ain't know any of the local artists around here. So I was like, well, here I am.
Prior to you moving to Charlotte, did you know anything about the music here? Did you hear different artists that were from Charlotte?
That's a great question. No, I really didn't. I didn't know any artists. Only reason I know of the artist now is because of my best friend / manager. She grew up in Charlotte, so she knows like everybody. But as far as hearing things, I did hear people just say things like, you know, they don't support each other, or it's a lot of haters in Charlotte. And I don't let stuff like that get to me. You know, I'm really ambitious, and I already know I'm different. So like I'm not easily influenced. So I was like, whatever. So I came down here and I didn't get that vibe at all. Like, I don't know. I get a lot of love, and I try to show love back. So I think the art, the scene here is pretty dope.
You've been here now for a couple years. So what else have you thought about when it comes to Charlotte music or the opportunities that you're seeing here?
Even though I feel like there is love, I feel like there's still a gray area in the Charlotte scene. I can't really pinpoint it myself.
Like gray area in how it's undefined, or gray area?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Because and just North Carolina as a whole, I feel like I've always felt that deep down we should be in the conversations with the LA and New York, and Nashville and Chicago. And Atlanta, of course, you know, the Georgia scene, and Florida, of course. But, yeah, I just think it's just undefined. I still think we're trying to find out how to brand ourselves and execute it effectively. But, and of course, we need more opportunities. We need more development. I have noticed that as well. Especially, you know, the artists, I know they complain sometimes they don't have the avenues for certain things or for their craft. So I think that would be helpful if we have more resources and more programs for educating upcoming artists. That's always areas for improvements, you know, because it's not something that just comes overnight. It's something that you grow into.
Coming up, Cianca on being her own Beyoncé, and taking a meeting with Jay-Z's record label. Paper. That's after this break on Amplifier.
If you can't go inside with my mind, we can't lay up. I be flexing. I be flexing. If you really ain't trying to grind, we can't be texting. Yes, I be rolling.
I want to talk a little bit about your music. Your 2017 debut EP, The Isle of Queens, is this gorgeous mix of 90s R&B and jazz and spoken word. And the record begins with the song Rosa, and it only clocks in at around 2 minutes, but it packs a punch.
Your hair is nappy. Why you so angry? You should smile more. I know I paint the world in sunshine, but let me illuminate at my own disposal. I looked out my window this morning and saw you dancing down the street. You told me today your black was enough. You left the kitchen, left the stove to clean itself, left the garden. You were tired of watering. Today was yours. No chicken grease, no black eyed peas or collard greens to clean. Today you want to be mean. Your name is Angela, sprinkled in Nina, rolled in Harriet, fried in asada, smothered in hot sauce from every tear dropped from your black XYI. You ride a chariot because Rosa parked her seat where she wanted. Baby, you are to be flaunted. And please don't apologize for mistakes that were never made. You are no accident queen. And some days you feel 5,000 lashes as your baby was ripped from your breast. You hear your name being whispered as you remember laying your head on your stolen husband's chest. You crack each vertebrae in your back as you balance the world on the faith of your mustard seed. Return to sender. Return to the Isle of Queens.
How did the song come about?
Anytime something comes to my mind, I just pull my phone out and I record my voice memo. But I came up with this verse one day that said, Rosa parks her seat where she wanted. And I just got stuck on that. I don't know what that came from, maybe from a documentary that I was watching. Because I watch a lot of music documentaries and interviews. But I just tucked it away. And then when the album came about and it got finished, approaching being finished, I said, I want some spoken word on my project. I always love spoken word, you know. I always had a love for spoken word. Low key. but Megan, which is my best friend and manager, she used to do spoken word when she went to A&T. And I remember when she used to hit me up like, you know, I got to doing some spoken word tonight, come see me. And I go, see, and I'm like, yo, you are cold. Like, you're amazing. But she was always modest about it. Or she was like, you know, hey. But I hit her up, and I was like, you know, I got this line. I was like, I want you to write a poem centered around that line. She was like, okay. So she did it. And I didn't hear from her. Like, she was just went into a shell. I was like, okay. Like, and then she just pops up. She's like, all right. And she just sends this voice memo of her doing this poetry. And I was like, this is perfect. So I was like, I need you to go in the studio and record this. This is the interlude for the album. And that's how it went about.
So one of my favorite lines from it was, baby, you're to be flaunted. And please don't apologize for mistakes that were never made. You're no accident queen. And that's just one of the many great lines in the song Rosa. Sianka, can you walk us through a few more of those lines and those lyrics and what they mean to you? And I guess also what they mean to Megan, since she wrote the song in a way.
Phew, man. Those lyrics are so deep. And that's crazy that you said that's your favorite line, because that's mine as well. So many times women, and especially black women, we apologize for things that's out of our control. And she was just saying that, she said it so poetically that, you know, you don't have to do that. You know, be who you are and embrace it. We all go through things in life, and your pain is also equal to your breakthrough. It's also the fuel to your success, your imperfections. So that line just meant to me is like, embrace your imperfections and also anything that we're faced and the things that Black women face in society, we can apologize for it.
Another song off of your 2017 debut, The Isle of Queens, is the final song, which is Eat. And we are getting close to Thanksgiving and the season of food. I know that's not necessarily what the song is about, but I wanted to ask about the song Eat and what inspired it.
Well, Eat was not planned. I booked a session. I remember I was frustrated the day before, and I was just, I just need to vent. So I called LaFell up, and I was like, I'm about to book you tomorrow. I need like 2 or 3 hours. And he was like, what are we working on? He always asked me that. And I always tell him what we're working on, but to that time I was like, I don't know. I told him just like that. And he was like, all right. So I drove down there because he's located in Greensboro. And I was like, man, just play me something. I know you've been cooking something. Because, you know, he produces. He's just going through beats. And I'm like, hold on. What is that right there? I was like, run that back. And I was like, oh, this is fire, man. I was like, hold on. Give me like 20 minutes. And I just sat there on the couch and I wrote it. I just liked the grungy sound of it, like the trap beats mixed with the jazz. Something I haven't heard, I mean, compiled together, you know, smoothly like that in a while. And it brought me back, like if I was sitting in my daddy's car on the way, you know, to the grocery store, we listen to, you know, Sade, so, or some Missy Hellwood. So, yeah, it just gave me the vibe of just eating. Like, I'm grinding. That's what it's all about. It's just, shout out to anybody who's out there doing their craft. Like, it's like, eat up. Like, grind for that. So that's how that was curated.
Tired of the same old thing. Can you paint? Trying to switch up lanes. Darling, look in a midnight day. Looking up, waiting for my midnight praise.
So that part is just basically saying, that's just me talking about, I'm tired of working this 9 to 5. I'm tired of the same old, you know. I'm riding my car. I'm just, like, thinking, like, God, please, something come through. And then that's why I did, like, a 360 with the lyrics. Riding through in the midnight days, looking up, waiting for my midnight praise. Begging, Lord, please let me upgrade. Let me elevate and make things change. It didn't come when I wanted, but it came. And I switched up and I pulled up in a new black range. So it's saying, it ain't gonna come when I want it to. It's not, you know, this, because I know this is my purpose. And I know, like, you know, everybody had that thought in their head, like, man, when I'm gonna get signed? When I'm gonna be the next Beyonce? You know, that everybody thinks that. And I had to stop thinking like that, because it's like, ain't no next. I am the Cianca. And that I can't focus on when it's gonna come, because you can't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow's not here. I gotta worry about today. So it's just like, hey, when it comes, I'm gonna pull up in this range. Ranges are not really popping anymore, so it's probably gonna be like
probably G-Wagon right now.
Yeah,
I think
it's probably gonna be a Ferrari or something more trendy.
What else about that song resonates with you when it comes to the lyrics or the melody? What really stands out to you about it?
The piano definitely stood out to me. You know, I went to college for a little bit for music. I majored in music performance percussion, and going through a lot of theory classes and, you know, ear training, and learning about musicianship and placements of notes and things of that nature. That's why that song stood out to me, because it was, you know, like I said, he did a really good job of executing, mixing the trap and the jazz together. But yeah, it's just that piano, like that da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's so jazzy. It reminds me of, it just reminds me of people like Chuck Berry, definitely Louis Armstrong. But, I love that beat so much. For sure. And it's crazy because we actually produced and wrote that song right after I had a meeting with an A&R from Roc Nation.
Really?
Yeah.
And A&R is like, that's an acronym just meaning like the people that kind of determine what artists are going to be picked up to a major label mm-hmm. and right. given the full treatment.
Right.
Like those people. That's right. amazing from Roc Nation.
Yeah. You know, like I said, I had in my mind like, oh, yeah, I'm about to get on Roc Nation. You know, this is about to go down. Like, you know what I'm saying? Getting big-minded. And I was like, nah, I gotta chill out because it just be a meeting. You know, it's just, it could just be another relationship that you have under your belt, which I'm thankful for it is, you know, that I could put in my contact list and have, a, you know. But, yeah, I wrote that song because ultimately, you know, things didn't work out. I'm not with Roc Nation. And then that's when I think that's what basically sparked the lyrics to that song, too. Because like I said, it's like, you know, I can't put all my eggs in one basket. That's not how it works. That it will eventually come at the right time. So,
if eat were a dish on a plate, on a table, what would that dish be for you?
It would be success.
What's keeping you here in Charlotte making music?
That's a great question. I used to ask that myself. I ask that myself a lot. What is keeping me here? Especially when you hear, like, you hear positive, but you also hear negative. Just reassurance, the reason why I'm here. You know, like I said, grew up in the church and having faith and that spirituality that I'm not going to move until, you know, God tells me to move or I need to move. But I think I'm in a great position. I've always been homegrown, raised very southerly. Used to eat deer, you know, my grandfather used to hunt, so.
Used to eat deer?
Yes. I can't believe I just said that on this podcast.
What an exclusive.
I don't eat it anymore because I don't live in, like, the woods and stuff, so. That opportunity is not like McDonald's Big Mac, so. So, you know, yeah, I love North Carolina, like. This is an amazing state to me. I'm not just saying that because I'm from here, but, like, you know, when I go to other places and I get reassurance from people looking on the outside, that warms my heart. When we went to L.A., I was like, man, North Carolina people are just cold, man. Y'all slept on. I hear that all the time. I go to Atlanta. Man, y'all slept on, yo. I don't know what it is about North Carolina. I'm like, man, we slept on. But it's coming. I feel it. I feel it in my soul. But that's why I'm staying here, because I know. I just believe it's coming. For more access and resources, even I see a record label down here, whether it's independent or you know, just really holding weight in the industry. So I ain't going nowhere. I ain't gonna lie. I may move. I always want to live in LA or just. I love traveling, but this is always gonna be home. Home is where the heart is.
And the deer meat.
Get you some.
Cianca's latest release is titled The Isle of Queens, available on Apple Music, Spotify, and wherever fine music is streamed and sold. Amplifier is a production of WFAE. This episode was written and produced by me, Joni Deutsch. Our associate producer is Cole Del Charco. Our editors are Greg Collard and Jadon Marshall. Our theme music is provided by Dirty Art Club. Share your favorite Charlotte music recommendations with me on social media. You can tag and follow me. I'm at A Change of Tune. Amplifier features a new musical episode every other Thursday. So make sure to subscribe to the Amplifier podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you find podcasts. And if you're listening on NPR One, make sure to give us a heart or a favorite. Check out the playlist and show notes for today's episode, along with a Charlotte music map and a way for you to submit your music on our website, wfae.org/amplifier. Until next time, I'm Joni Deutsch. Thanks for listening.